Okay, it's hour number two of My Guys in the Desert from the South Point on a Thursday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds here today. Wes, good to see you again. It's been a long break. I've been on the Follow the Money show. You've been on, I think, every show on the network in the past 2 months.
Been on that morning shift, man. And I know after the show, you don't like to eat before the show. Like, I don't like to eat before the show. You get hungry, though, for breakfast late in that hour, don't you?
I like to eat before the show and after the show, to be honest. I prefer not to jog a mile and a half to get to the show like I had to yesterday when the roads were shut down out here at the South Point. So I'm not sweating today like I was yesterday when I got into the studio. But, hey, let's talk Olympic basketball. That's the subject of my column this week in Point Spread of the Weekly in the New York Post. USA basketball hopes to avoid a fiasco in Tokyo. Do you think it will be a fiasco, Wes, or will the Team USA figure it out at some point here after losing a couple of exhibitions in Las Vegas?
I got to think they're going to figure it out. Now, at minus 350, I would want a little bit less. If you gave me somewhere $250 to $3, I think there'd be some value on Team USA because now they're kind of seen as vulnerable based on the performance they had out here at Las Vegas over at the Michelob Ultra Arena, which is just by the Mandalay Bay where they played these exhibition games about a week and a half ago. But look, the world is getting closer, as I mentioned earlier in the show, in terms of Australia. I think that they're probably the biggest threat to Team USA, the Boomers, which is slang for adult male kangaroos. Of course, you have several NBA players, Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, Matisse Thybul, Aaron Baines, Josh Green, Dante Exum. Also, remember Jock Landale. We are big college basketball fans, Matt. He was at St. Mary's and plays in his home country of Australia and is a pretty good shooter, a pretty good big man that can step out and shoot. So the Aussies, I think, and they even would have been a better team. I think Ben Simmons really should have tried to maybe rehab his image a little bit and committed to international basketball. And I think if they would have had Simmons, they would be kind of right there on USA's heels. But right now you're getting Australia about 15-2. I think at BetMGM, you might be able to find some better prices in the market, but those mid-teen prices are absolutely gone right now.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, or a few days ago at least, you could have found Australia 14-1. I think there were a couple books that left that up and probably got hit on it. And those numbers have disappeared. Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Superbook was Jeff always seems to get the best number. He had he's in the business. He tracks this stuff every day.
But he doesn't always give us the best number. Well, he does sometimes.
He does. He does. He he had 20-1. He got 20-1 on Australia. That's a great number.
Yes.
I think. And Jeff said if he power rated the teams in the Olympic basketball right now, it'd be U.S. one obviously at the Westgate. The U.S. is minus 500. You can find as low as minus 350. I wouldn't lay that unless it's around $250 or $3 if you can find that price out there. But then, anyway, Jeff's got 20-1. He power rates Australia number two. And then after that, I think most people power rate Spain number three. But like you said, Spain's an older team. And I don't think in a tournament format, Spain's got enough firepower to beat Team USA.
They certainly don't. They didn't beat them out here in the last exhibition game either. So Spain number three, and then you go down to some of the mid-rise teams, Slovenia with Luka Doncic also on that team. And remember former UVA Cavalier Mike Toby is the center on that Slovenian team. And then also France, who Team USA is going to go ahead and get in the first matchup on Sunday morning out here, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. So France has some NBA talent with Gobert and Fournier, Ntilikina, Nick Batum. So they're a very good defensive team, and that's why I like the under in that game.
Okay, aside from betting the under in that first game against France, anything else that you have played on the Olympic basketball board? Did you get a future in on any team other than the U.S.? Because I know you're not going to lay that price with the U.S. right now.
The only thing I did play was Australia to medal, which I did get at plus money, about a plus a buck and a quarter a couple weeks ago. The Boomers have been really close. They finished fourth a couple times in the Olympics, but they've never had a team that I think really could medal. And I do think that they have this. I think it's a little bit open after Team USA. So Australia, I did get at plus money to win a medal. I did not quite get the price that Jeff Sherman and JBT got, of course, on the Australian futures. Anything double digits I might be interested in, but at 750 I'm going to take a pass.
Does Slovenia have anything aside from Luka Doncic?
Well, they do have a guy by the name of Mike Toby, who I mentioned, mm-hmm. played at University of Virginia, who is a decent enough center. They're not very deep, and plus Slovenia is in that Group C with Argentina, Japan, and Spain, so not really enough depth. Goran Dragic's younger brother, is the backcourt mate for Luka.
All right, stay tuned. Derek Stevens and Mike Palm from Circa join us next. My guys in the desert from the South Point Sportsbook. Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds here. Hour number two today on a Thursday. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's welcome these guys in now. It's great to see Derek Stevens and Mike Palm from Circa at the VSIN studio at the Circa Sportsbook. And Derek's got his usual striped sports coat on. Derek, I haven't seen you for quite a while. I was down there the night of the UFC event when Conor McGregor was fighting, and we thought you were going to be hanging out and drinking with us that night. You were MIA. I was told you were out of town. What's going on?
Yeah, I had to take a look at my schedule, and you know, I think every Saturday through Super Bowl is locked up, so that was the only time I could take Nicole out. Okay. So I hit the. You know, all the undercard fights were great. But yeah, I missed you. I missed you greatly, Mr. Humans.
There were a lot of people looking for you that night, and we couldn't find Mike. We didn't see Mike Palm down there that night either, but he set us up with great seats down there to watch the fights.
Great place to watch the fights, by the way. If you have not been to the warehouse up on the third floor at Circa, if you're not in the venue here in Las Vegas, that's the next best place to be, and it was a great time.
You were there that night, Wes.
I was there.
Wes Reynolds was there. Mike Palm. How you doing today? How are things going with Amal Shaw out on the nuts?
Well, that was like, I mean, I said I could have done 3 hours with Towers today. It was that enjoyable. It's like going from a donkey to a Rolls Royce.
Wow. Man.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Now, Amal's in Dallas. He's getting deposed in a lawsuit. I don't know the details, but maybe VSiN sued him for larceny by false promise that he told Bill Ady he was a host, you know?
Well, that's I'm not sure if that's gonna fly or not, but I hate to hear that Amal Shaw is involved in something like that. I'm sure it's not too shady. Anyway, I like Josh Towers' name for his picks, the Towers Power Picks, right? Is that what he called it?
Yeah, and we called it the Josh Towers Power Hour when he was on, and he was absolutely fantastic. Look, I'm so blessed today, Derek. I mean, to be able to be on VSiN three times on the day that's probably the second most significant milestone in this station's history, in this network's history, I would rank arguably May 14th, 2018, and the anniversary of the repeal of PASPA as the most significant date. But July 22nd, 2021, 2020, that we're celebrating a year anniversary. Do you realize that Ben Fox was hired 1 year ago today? I mean, that's got to be the second most significant event.
I saw it on Twitter. Yeah.
I don't know if that includes the 4.5 months it took him to travel across the continent before he finally got here or not.
That does not. He showed up here sometime in September, I think. But I did see him tweet that today. Mike, props to you. You've got a baseball winner in pocket, I think, already today. You played the Tigers, right?
Watch out for the Tigers. Now, I don't know that they're out of it. This is the greatest thing to come out of a Michigan, and I don't know if since when. I mean, they're... The Michigan, the whole state, Detroit, I mean, they're just overwhelmed by the Tigers' success. The Red Wings even went out and made a trade to try to win today. Get Nedeljkovic. I mean, it's got a cascading effect. You got to talk about A.J. Hinch for manager of the year in the American League, though. I mean, without a doubt, Spencer Turnbull out for the year, maybe next year, too, with Tommy John. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a big blow. But they finally found the right combination. Badu's great, the catcher. I mean, this team's exciting. I've had them the last 4 days. I mean, just keep betting them. They're a small favorite or a dog. They've got the arms. The Rangers, I mean, you get Foltynewicz today, and the Rangers haven't scored a run in about a month. But they held on to win 7-5 today. So, yeah, we got the first one in the bank.
7-5 Tigers, seven straight wins for the Tigers. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, seven straight wins. And, boy, it's amazing. Comerica Park's starting to fill up. The crowd's standing. They're cheering. They're coming out of their cages. And there's no question, A.J. Hinch, he's doing things that baseball fans love to see. People are running out ground balls. The way that their base running is unbelievable, how they're going after an extra base, their secondary leadoffs, the defense. It's a little bit different. It's the way baseball used to be played, but it's exciting inch by inch.
Cabrera stretched out a triple the other night.
All right, I've been down there at Circus Sports almost on a daily basis for the past couple months, and I see that chart that you guys have in front of you. It's up there in the studio. Derek, talk about the significance of the chart, and let's get an update on the Circus Sports contest because we have a long way to go here and a lot of people yet to sign up. Give us updated numbers and talk about the details of the contest as of today.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is that that people are coming into town and we're starting to see some good growth in the Circus Sports Millions. You know, last year we guaranteed the $3 million. We did a little over $3.3 million, so we were okay. We pushed it to $4 million. We kind of thought, well, there's a little more travel going on, and we got some growth in natural momentum, so we pushed it. It was way back in December when we were talking about what we were going to do with Survivor, and Mike was just talking about how much airtime and how much discussion there was about this, and we really need to push it and push it and push it. You know, I listened to my compatriot over here, and we decided to push it up up to $6 million, and now we're in deep, deep trouble. I mean, think about this: the millions is outperforming by 25% Survivor. So this could be the biggest EV overlay, the biggest nominal overlay, and I've been saying this for a little while. This Survivor, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Too quirky.
Trouble.
Too many three-game weeks.
No.
You got to use
it's
San Francisco.
Like
you got to use Kansas City the last week.
You've never been a Survivor guy. You don't want to deal with Christmas. You got a personal issue.
Humans had it right on Follow the Money. The day we announced the rules, he said, this is your baby. And that's the reason we guaranteed $6 million. This is Derek Stevens' baby. Don't talk about Mike Pump, so there was a lot of discussion.
Mike is right,
bottom
actually.
Bottom line is we're guaranteed $6 million, and we got a long road to hoe. Our current contest updated numbers are, at this point in the millions, we have 524 entrants. And in Survivor, we're at 428 right now. So we got a little over a $5.5 million overlay on Survivor. But you know, all joking aside, it's early. We're still in July. I mean, we're only starting to get, some of the networks to talk about football now that the NBA championship's over. So, you know, we're going to see, 80% of 80% of what happens from the middle of August onward. So it's early, but I'd say we're in good shape on the millions and in trouble on Survivor.
Well, I think the Survivor thing, Mike is onto something here, and I've felt that way about some of the Survivor contests. People need simple contests. I mean, when you get too deep into strategy, and it's quirky with a lot of different rules, you lose some people. Now, I appreciate the strategical part of it, and a lot of sharp bettors really do, but I think sometimes the public masses get a little confused by all the rules, and they just want to be in the simple contest.
Yeah, I understand, Matt, but, I mean, you're a professional on this network. You're the host of My Guy. All we did last year was at Thanksgiving. We made Thanksgiving a week. That's all we did. So why is it a stretch? How can people understand Thanksgiving, but you can't understand Christmas? It's not that big a deal. So we added one extra holiday, and I understand the simplicity thing, but this is right up the alley of all of our VEASAN listeners. These are, you're not your average sports bettor that's listening to this show here. So we tried to do something that really caters to the VEASAN listener and everything else like that. Adding one extra holiday adds a little more strategy to the game.
All right, tell us about that color-coded chart in front of you.
Well, of course, you need to have a color-coded chart like this. We'll be selling these in the gift shop within a week or two, I hope. This is going to tell you whether you've got the early morning Sunday game, the late afternoon, the Sunday night, and the Monday games. So this is how you chart out your path and how you get here to the promised land. So, you work it, on a bull rush, you start from left to right. On the Merlin reversal, you work from right to left. And then, somewhere in the middle, you're going to figure it out. But you need to have a map. You can't get from opening day till a week, the last week of the season, without a good map. So this is like your guide, color-coded, and we did it because it makes it simple.
Derek, I'm concerned about the size of this. Will this fit in the overhead bin?
No, they come in multiple sizes. We've got 11x17s. We've got roll-ups. We got them in all different shapes.
How about a pocket schedule that you could pick up maybe at the window at Circus Sports? Kind of like a season baseball schedule.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I like that
pocket schedule.
Follow
that's
him
a
on.
Good idea, man. Maybe we got to have to do them. We've done all the real nice ones, laminated, color-coded, and all that, but maybe a pocket schedule like you get at a ballpark. That might work.
That's a decent idea. Follow him on Twitter at Derek J. Stevens, and obviously follow Mike at Mike Palm Circa. He's the vice president of operations for the Golden Gate and Circa. And I flew back into town Sunday night. I look up, and on the video board, I see Derek Stevens and Mike Palm sitting down for a fake press conference to advertise the Circa Sports Contest. Man, you're going all out. You love to market these contests, and when you land in Vegas and walk in the airport, it's Circa. Everywhere, it's Circa.
Yeah, we know a few guys over there.
and things are going.
That's going to be the commercial we're going to roll out here not too far down the road. So we've got some marketing work to do, and we're going to try to get this Survivor up and going. And we think it adds a lot of excitement. A lot of excitement to the football season.
Hopefully, Joe Musgrove gets the feel back on his slider, so a lot of people will be watching that commercial on the Padres game.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a great race, by the way, in the National League West. And the Giants up 2 games on the Dodgers after last night's results. But, Mike, before we wrap it up on baseball, I want to ask you about the contest, too, because Derek, he's a salesman. He likes to build the drama and act like he's going to get burned on a big layover. But we know that's probably not going to happen, right? I think these numbers are going to get hit by late August. Do you believe that?
Well, Mitch Moss made a great point on Follow the Money. I was on with Mitch and Adam Hill. By the way, Adam Hill's great. That was excellent.
I've enjoyed doing Adam Hill on Mike.
I like having Adam Hill on Follow the Money. So then that we get Maddie here on My Guys and interviewing us. But anyhow, aside from that, Mitch said, will the market allow an overlay? Which is a great point. Are people, when they see that there's going to be an overlay, will a guy like Bill Krakenberger and 500 of his compatriots swoop in and get that Survivor guarantee over the top?
No, I think Krak and his compatriots will wipe out that overlay. And I agree. That's why I've always felt like you're going to hit those numbers, is because when you start talking about the overlay, then the vultures swoop in and it disappears. Wes, do you kind of feel like that's the scenario?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of late signups. I was talking with Maddie Simo, runs footballcontest.com, with Tony Law, and that's what he thinks. He's not worried. I know Derek, it's his money, so he's got to worry about the overlay, but the proxies are not worried. I think business is about to pick up.
All right, again, tell us those numbers again, Derek, and the target numbers you want to hit in both circuit contests.
Well, we got to hit 4 million in the millions, and we have to hit 6 million in Survivor. We're currently at 524 in the millions and 428 in Survivor. So long road to hoe here.
Well, you're open 24 hours down there at the Circus Sportsbook downtown, and plenty of time to sign up. You got about 6 weeks to sign up for the circuit contest. By the way, this segment is brought to you by footballcontest.com, the number one proxy service and top source for info on Las Vegas football contest, including live standings. You just need to go to footballcontest.com. Maddie Simo's the guy to talk to. They're the number one proxy service in Las Vegas. Mike Palm, let's talk a little baseball here before we wrap it up. So the Giants and Dodgers go again tonight. Walker Buehler, a big favorite against the Dodgers, who blew it last night. Kenley Jansen coughed it up in the ninth inning. This has been a pretty good series so far. Dodgers minus 170, total of 7.5. Anything you saw worth playing in this game tonight or in the rest of baseball? You have a winner with the Tigers today. What else did you play tonight?
Well, you know, this is a great series, and I don't know how long it's going to take before the betting market will recognize the Giants. You can still get them at plus 310 to win the West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could be up 4 games after tonight. The Italian stallion, Anthony Desclafani, has been outstanding this year for them, although I think Walker Buehler is the top pitcher for the Dodgers, especially with I don't think we're going to see Bauer anymore. Jensen gets booed last night, booed off the mound in Dodger Stadium. Rodgers blows the game the night before in the ninth for the Giants. They were up 6-2 there. I've laid off this game. You know, I like to play first five unders. I've just about sworn off it. It's too hard anymore to play these. I thought I had a rocking chair game the other night in Detroit, and then Kyle Gibson gives up 4 in the bottom of the bottom of the fifth to go over the 4.5 with 6 runs. I played my old guy. I had to choose. You know, I love these Asian pitchers, the Kikuchis, the Ryus. I had to choose between Byung-Young Kim tonight. Towers went with Kim and the Cardinals to beat the fading Cubs. I went with Kenta Maeda. I laid $1.39 at home. These Angels, when Otani's not hitting, punchless, this home run derby curse. I mean, he's 4-for-21 since the break, one homer, one double, 11 punch outs and 21 at bat. If he's not hitting, they're not hitting. I'll take Kenta at a pretty cheap price against Mr. Haney for the Angels tonight.
Hey, Mike, question for you. Since the All-Star break, Reds came out of the gate 1-5. What do you think of this Castellano injury? Does this impact everything? Because it changes the trading deadline. Now Castillo might be one of the top people going after.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole series flipped with the Brewers. And I bet Castellanos at 50-1 to win MVP on the hope that DeGrom was going to be out for a while. Yeah. He was getting all the timely hits. We don't know when we're going to get Castellanos back. Yeah, I don't know what the Reds are going to do. Sonny Gray is not Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray's on the – you know who the best pitcher for the – nobody's talking about this. Outside of DeGrom and Gausman, the best pitcher in the National League, starting pitcher in the National League this year has been Wade Miley.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Miley, 10 of 11 starts, 2 earned runs or less, 4 of his last 5, 1 earned run or less. This guy has been outstanding.
And just about 45 seconds left. What's going on down there on Fremont Street this weekend? Who is in town on the 3rd Street stage?
Well, we got a concert. We have a concert tonight at the event center, and then on Saturday night we got docking. We're going to be rocking back like it was 1980.
Into the fire. How about that?
All these management trainees are going to be with Derek. All these kids right out of school. None of them ever heard of Don Dokken. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they were around there 20 years later. No. We're going to be rocking out this
weekend.
I tell you
what, Wes Reynolds will be down there rocking with Dokken.
We saw a metal band down there a couple weeks ago.
I think there's a good chance you're going to be down there. Derek Stevens, great to see you back. We missed you a couple weeks ago. Good luck with your contest, baby. And Mike Shaw, Mike Palm, can you update us on the Amal Shaw court case when you get a chance, please?
Yeah, he may be back tomorrow. If not, I got Towers on standby.
Okay, good deal. That's Mike Palm and Derek Stevens from Circus Sports Downtown. OddsTrader.com studio at South Point Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. OddsTrader.com. The host of the next show here on VSiN just walked into the studio and I looked over. He's wearing a mask. I didn't recognize him. I thought, man, Gil Alexander's gained weight and he's been lifting weights. That's not Gil. That's Jeff Parles. He's going to host the next show. Hey, we're 1 week out from the NBA draft. Wes Reynolds, Thursday night, July 29th. I read a story this morning on The Athletic written by Seth Davis. It was actually really good. He talked to various NBA scouts, and he granted each scout anonymity, so he was able to publish all their opinions about the top 50 players that are ranked in this NBA draft. I know it was a good story because I didn't plan to read the whole thing, and I ended up reading the whole thing. And there are detailed scouting reports on the top 50 players. I think when you read that and you come away from it that there's no doubt Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick in the draft. After I read it, I thought a very good bet that Jalen Green is going to be the number two pick. And if you look at some of the odds out there, Jalen Green, DraftKings, -150 to be the number two pick. Evan Mobley in the running, so is Jalen Suggs, even though I don't think Suggs is going to go number two now. It looks like between Green and Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that number two pick is going to play out in the draft?
Yeah, I was trying to sell JVT on the nightcap on Monday night here. I was like, you think maybe you're buying Evan Mobley here at number two potentially, and there's plus money because the market clearly has shifted over to Jalen Green, the G League player from last year, who's probably the best scorer in this draft, kind of a little bit of a cross between like a Zach LaVine and a Devin Booker. But obviously Mobley is a center in a league where big men seem to be a little bit less and less valuable. And look, Daryl Morey not there in Houston anymore, but a lot of his disciples are still there. So Maybe they don't go with Mobley because they do have Christian Wood, of course, the former UNLV Rebel, who I think kind of reached a new level in his game this year. Like, I think Mobley, if you were going just by, like, power ratings or, like, best available player, I would say he's number two, but I don't know if he's going to fit here. I was kind of trying to see maybe if there was some value for Evan Mobley at number two. Doesn't look to be. It looks like Jalen Green has got the momentum, but I think that top four, it looks to be Cunningham, Green, Mobley, Suggs, and some kind of order. But I do think Scotty Barnes maybe could crack into that top four where you might see Toronto go ahead and take a look at him because, look, Toronto loves those athletic wings. Of course, they have OG Anunoby.
You know who Scotty Barnes has been compared to? Pascal Siakam.
Yes, who they might be trading. Yeah. And, of course, they also have OG Anunoby. And Scotty Barnes, this would be the second year in a row where a Florida State player is going to kind of rise up through the draft as we get closer and closer and rise up the lottery. Remember Patrick Williams went the number four pick to the Chicago Bulls. And it was like, Patrick Williams, wow, number four pick.
Florida State seems to have a player like that every year.
Florida State, I don't know how they ever lose a game when you look at the athletes that they have. Like, when they get off the bus, it's like, dude, if there's an obstacle course competition, they're going to beat every damn program in the country. But somehow, some way, they just never have enough offense when they need it in the tournament.
Florida State basketball players in the draft kind of remind me of LSU wide receivers in the old days in the NFL draft. You're like, oh, that guy played wide receiver at LSU?
Yeah.
You never saw him because they never threw the ball that much.
Right.
That all changed with Joe Burrow a couple of years ago. I think Jalen Green's a pretty good bet to be the number two pick. So if you can find a better price than minus 150, I would play it. Based on everything I read, it looks like, you know, he played in the, what do they call it, the G League? What's it called?
Yeah, G League.
For developmental players who don't play college basketball. So I've only watched highlight tapes of him, but he's a Bradley Beal type of guy who's going to fill it up. He can be an explosive scorer. I think he's going to excite a lot of teams. I believe he's going to be the number two pick, and it looks like Evan Mobley's going to go number three. Do you agree with that? Or you said you were trying to make a case for Mobley at two.
Yeah, I was, but now I look at it, and Green is a little bit more of a better fit, and this is a team that does have older guards, quite frankly. John Wall, Eric Gordon, both have had injury issues, so you need some scoring punch out of that backcourt. I think you have a nice piece in Christian Wood, not that he's your total franchise player, but he's a nice guy to build around, I think.
Christian Wood from UNLV, who was undrafted a few years 5 years ago, I think five years ago. Chris Wood has developed into a great player. He's basically 6'11". He can shoot the three, can play all over the floor. So I think a shooting guard makes more sense for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would certainly think so.
You think there's any chance? There's always a little chance, but what do you put the percent chance on Cade Cunningham going number one?
100%.
100?
Yes.
Not even 99?
Not 99, 100%. He is a Detroit.
Give me a sleeper in this draft, Wes. Who do you like? Maybe in the top 30 prospects, is there a guy you think
call a sleeper? A guy can go in the top six. I know he's kind of slated right now in the middle of the first round. Moses Moody out of Arkansas.
Yeah, I like
I think
him too.
He is going to be the riser next week, and you're going to see him go earlier. So maybe bet him on an under prop in terms of draft position.
That's a good call there. All right, we'll talk more baseball betting when we come back here on My Guys in the Desert. Football season's right around the corner, not too far away from the NFL Hall of Fame game. We got the preseason and college football kicking off before you know it. The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon. There's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Wes Reynolds and our team of experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20. Discounts available when you buy both. You should buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy. Sign up. Also, that's another option. You can sign up for VSiN All Access. Get everything we offer for the entire football season. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And over 100 pages in this college football betting guide. All right, Wes, let's talk baseball. Last night, the San Francisco Giants got to Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning. It's been a a series of comebacks the past two nights. Dodgers walked off the Giants two nights ago. Last night, the Giants came back, stunned the Dodgers in the ninth, 4-2 at about plus 150. How about that price on the Giants? And this is from MLB Stats on Twitter. The Giants have reached 60-plus wins in their first 95 games for the first time since 1993. And they've had three World Series championship teams in the past 12 years in that span. But first time since 1993, the Giants at 60 wins. And after last night's win, the Giants up two games on the Dodgers. They are 60-35, 7-3 in their past 10. And tonight, a pretty good pitching matchup at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, and we keep waiting to see if the Giants pitching staff is going to regress here, because they've had a lot of reclamation projects on this staff, quite frankly. Logan Webb has been very solid in 12 starts, 4-3. Aaron Sanchez has been injured. He got off to a decent start. But if you look, Kevin Gausman, 9-3 with the 1.84 ERA. Anthony DeSclafani, who had probably his worst year in Cincinnati last season, 10-4 with the 2.78 ERA, about 3.95 on the xFIP. So you're thinking, okay, regression might be coming, especially for Gausman and DeSclafani. John Cueto has pretty much been what he is, an ERA at 4.65 on the year. But somehow this team is just not going away. And everybody is kind of thinking, okay, this team is eventually going to fall down a little bit. But this is a team that I think I would actually favor them. I think Danielle and I last week went over the playoff props in terms of who is going to make the playoffs. And obviously the Dodgers, very short price. I would actually take the Giants over the Padres to make the playoffs out of this division.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been the better team through about 100 games. And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I've been saying for 2 months the Giants are for real. They're not going to fade. A lot of people keep saying that they're going to fade, but the pitching has been there. Kevin Gossman's been great. Anthony DeSclafani goes tonight. You can get him at a price of about plus 155. That's the best number out there in the market. Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers, and Buehler is 10-1 with a 0.91 whip. He has made three starts against the Giants this season, and this will give you cause for concern if you want to bet against the Dodgers tonight. Buehler in his three starts on June 29th, 6 2/3 innings, no runs, one hit, seven strikeouts. That was a 3-1 win. Buehler against the Giants on May 28th, 6 innings, one earned run. Buehler at San Francisco on May 22nd, 7 innings, one earned run. So that's 19 2/3 innings, two earned runs for Walker Buehler against the Giants this season.
And those numbers you just mentioned with Buehler, I guess, would give you a pause on an over, but yet the over looks like it's getting a little money. 7.5 minus 115 was the overnight price, seeing minus $1.25. Juice to the over are our friends at Circus Sports. And I think probably just looking at the numbers, both guys have ERAs in like the mid twos, and both of them have xFIPs in the high threes. So maybe they're banking on regression tonight, and that's why you're seeing a little support for the over.
All right, that's Circus Sports right now. The Dodgers minus 165, Giants plus 150 at the South Point. Dodgers minus 170, Giants plus 155. Actually, the Westgate's got the best price out there. It looks like if you want to bet the Giants, a plus 158. Anyway, Giants-Dodgers tonight. Walker Buehler, 10-1 again. Wes, it looks like we're not going to see Trevor Bauer. Mike Palm mentioned this, and it's a subject you don't want to jump into too deeply. It's there's a lot of legal ramifications, and who knows what MLB is going to do with Trevor Bauer. But you would probably make it an odds-on favorite that he's not going to reappear this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of one of the reasons I've stayed away a little bit from Dodger futures. I know, because they haven't just run away with this division like a lot of people thought before the season was going to start, that now you're getting maybe some value or you're getting a decent price on this team. But I'm not so sure about it. Now, maybe it's a good thing, at least for the Dodgers, to eliminate any kind of distraction, no matter how this thing plays out. But still, Dodgers may be having to try to shop around and see if they can add an arm next week at the deadline.
We know the Dodgers have plenty of resources, so Trevor Bauer's done for the season, which looks like it's probably the case. Who do you think they can go out and get? Would it be Kyle Gibson, or would they shoot higher for a guy like Max Scherzer?
Well, there's a few guys out there in terms of the pitchers, and you mentioned Gibson from the Texas Rangers, who's certainly going to be on the move. I think they're going to be selling. Joey Gallo is going to probably find a new destination as well. But you look at Herman Marquez in Colorado. Maybe they're willing to part with John Gray. Also in Colorado, Jose Berríos, you would think would be on the move from Minnesota. In terms of a bullpen, Craig Kimbrell's obviously going to be the big ticket out there. So I don't know if the Dodgers have enough necessarily to give the Cubs as good enough of a return as they would want on Kimbrel, though.
Well, I don't know how much the Cubs can ask for Kimbrel. I think he's probably near the end of his career, too, even though he's having a very good year. Kenley Jansen needs some help out there.
And, Matt, can I give a little bit of breaking news here? This from Jeff Passan on Twitter of ESPN. We mentioned when we had Ken Korach on from the A's radio network, about Nelson Cruz maybe having a possible destination to Oakland. Well, it looks like his destination is about to be found, and it's about to go to Tampa Bay. Because it looks like Tampa Bay is going to acquire Nelson Cruz, who is in high demand. Even though he's 40 years old, he's still got some pop and still can knock him out of the yard. He's going to be a free agent next year, as Ken mentioned in our segment earlier. So looks like Minnesota Twins now starting to sell. We would expect that they would.
That's a good addition for the Rays lineup. Yeah. I like that move for the Rays.
Yeah, and I think the Rays, too, still need to do a little bit of work. I don't think they're going to be done yet. I think they need another arm in that rotation.
No, no,
you know, I thought maybe they would try to get Berríos from Minnesota, but they do add Nelson Cruz, who gives them some pop in that bat. I don't know the return as of yet. This is just breaking, but Minnesota now in sell mode. I would expect Taylor Rogers, that reliever, to be moved. I think Berríos, if they get the right return, he's going to be moved. Minnesota has been the most disappointing team in the American League this year.
There's no doubt about that. And we have one final to report in baseball for today. We're going to break down all of tonight's schedule, what's left of it, in the final segment of today's show. But Mike Palm had a winner today in baseball. He started off with the Tigers over the Rangers, and the Tigers won that game 7-5.
The
How about that?
Detroit Tigers.
Seven-game win streak for the Tigers.
Yeah, they've been scrappy all year. I mean, you look at some of these other teams, the Royals have not been very good, and Detroit was picked to finish last, but they give you an honest nine innings.
Here at the South Point, the Tigers close -138, and that's 7-5 win over Texas. Quick break. We come back. We'll wrap up baseball betting for tonight. My guys in the desert. If you're looking for a hot tip to bet on, BetRiver Sportsbook has you covered every day. Go to the BetRivers app or BetRivers.com and find the game you want to bet on. Tap Tips, T-I-P-S, and you'll get instant research for the upcoming matchup. Try it out for baseball, soccer, tennis, golf, and a variety of sports. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. This offer is valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Also available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey, and you must be 21. The BetRivers Sportsbook, you go to BetRivers.com. Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds here to wrap it up today on My Guys in the Desert from the South Point. Wes, we talked about Dodgers hosting the Giants tonight. It's a late start, 10 p.m. Eastern. So you got some late baseball betting action on the board tonight. Let's talk about the other games in the National League. First, the Braves. This game's going to start in about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Braves and Phillies. Charlie Morton and Matt Moore. And Charlie Morton is a favorite, former Tampa Bay Ray Charlie Morton. Here at the South Point, -139, total of 8.5.
Yeah, and Matt, about a little bit over a week and a half ago, this before the DeGrom injury, going on that 10-day injured list, I did bet the Phillies at 6-1 to win the NL East, and I did bet them on the win total, of course, before the season. I kind of think that they're the comer in this division, the one that really might be in better shape to go ahead and chase down the New York Mets. If we'll see what the Mets also do at the deadline, but yet another pitching injury. They're kind of used to that in Flushing Queens, New York, having a big starter go out in the middle of the summer. But the Phillies, I do think that they could start. They're going to start to hit better. But one of the things that really worries me about the Philadelphia Phillies, this bullpen is not very good. And you kind of saw that in the Bronx, where I thought they outplayed the Yankees and end up losing 2-3. They're 22nd in the entire league in ERA from their relievers, 4.64. They actually lead the league in blown saves. They've got a couple guys on the COVID list. And if you look at their relievers that were actually used last night in New York, they use Ranger Suarez, they use Archie Bradley, Connor Brogdon, Hector Neris were all used last night. Bradley and Brogdon both went multiple innings. So clearly they are not going to pitch. But then they get another bullpen that stinks in the Atlanta Braves. So Charlie, my favorite Morton, he is going to go ahead and have to take it deep into this game. And he certainly has 6.5 innings per start over his last six games. So Charlie Morton had a slow start for Atlanta, has kind of figured it out a little bit lately. He's been a little bit better on the road too. He's 2.83 on the ERA in 7 road games, just 4.24 in Truist Park down in Atlanta. So you're seeing a little bit of movement on the Braves here. It opened 130, seeing some 138s, 139s, 140. I certainly don't disagree with the move.
Yeah, these teams have been right around 500 most of the season. The Braves 46-48, the Phillies at 500. I thought the Braves would be the team to track down the Mets in the second half, but the Ronald Acuna injury is going to be, I think, too much for the Braves to overcome.
Yeah, you got to wonder how active they're going to be at the deadline. I know they did get Jock Peterson from Chicago and the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, that'll put you over the top.
Yeah. Look out, 20-game winning streak coming. They're going to go 20-6 here over the next 26 games. But nevertheless, that just, I think, was more of an indicator of the Cubs that they are going to be sellers at the deadline.
Tony Macklin, the Las Vegas film critic on Twitter, said he's harsh on the Philadelphia team sometimes because he's a Philly guy. He said, the Phillies are rubbish. Have talent.
Rubbish. That's such a movie critic's word, rubbish.
Have talent, but no discipline. McCutchen homers in the ninth, and the players cavort with a homer hat on head. 2 runs down in the ninth. 3 crucial times, Phil's had man on third with less than 2 outs. K'd each time. No capable coaching. Smug. Sloppy. That's his assessment.
Philadelphia people being harsh. Those are just salt of the earth people on Twitter, Matt, especially of the sports betting variety.
Padres and Marlins in Miami. Blake Snell goes against Anthony Bender, and Snell is minus 148 here at the South Point. Blake Snell has not been good on the road this season. The Padres were 0-8 in his first 8 road starts. They have won his past 2 road starts, but not because Snell was great. In his last road start at Washington on July 17th, he went 4 innings, allowed 6 hits, 4 walks, 4 runs, but he got a lot of run support in a 10-4 win. Snell has got a 1.60 whip in 17 starts. He's 3-3. He's been a flop for the Padres, but a big favorite on the road here against the Marlins and Anthony Bender.
Now, would you endorse the underdog here necessarily?
Well, I'm thinking about the dog, but I wish you had a better pitcher than Bender if you're going to bet the Marlins.
Yeah, because I certainly don't want Snell here, so I certainly wouldn't bet the Padres. This would just be Marlins or pass for me.
All right, let's look at Cubs and Cardinals in St. Louis. A couple nights ago, how about that? The Cubs scored 6th in the night to come back and beat the Cardinals 7-6. Cardinals came back to win last night. Albert Alzolay for the Cubs against Kim for the Cardinals. And to South Point, let's call it minus 125 for the Cards. Total of 8 or 8.5 out there.
Albert Alzolay does have problem with the home run ball. His home run through 9 innings, just a little bit under 2. And he's a guy I've kind of been waiting for to regress a little bit, even though he's posted below average numbers already. Actually, Kwang-Hyun Kim has been the best Cardinal pitcher thus far this season. Doesn't really strike you out a lot, but he keeps the ball inside the yard. The home run through 9 rate is just .69. The slider has been pretty good. That's really his best pitch. Opponents just hit a little bit under 200 against it. Cubs don't really hit the sliders very well, and this is a team that strikes out a lot, so I could definitely see a good outing for Kim. I think the price is relatively in reach here at minus 122. Look, both these teams under 500, and with Milwaukee kind of pulling away, I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be sellers like the Cubs, because the Cubs, a lot of that is predicated on a lot of their contract situations, but Cardinals look like a team that's going to stand pat and just probably just hope for the best. That's all I could see from the Cardinals. But you look at that lead, really only the Reds maybe could catch the Brewers, and even that's a chore with that bullpen. And then, of course, now Castellanos out the next couple weeks.
Breaking news from Jeff Parles of VSiN. The Tampa Bay Rays are finalizing a deal to acquire Nelson Cruz from the Twins. Did Parles get that info from Jeff Passan or other way around?
I don't know, man. Jeff is pretty dialed in amongst Major League Baseball circles from what I hear, but you are absolutely right. Tampa Bay, we thought, was going to be active at the deadline and try to get some help, and they certainly do with Nelson Cruz.
I like that move for the Rays. He's not going to be in the lineup tonight, obviously. Yeah, it's Luis Patino against Cal Quantrill, son of Paul Quantrill. The Rays are -132 total at 9.5 at Cleveland, Wes.
Yeah, and the over's getting bet here. It's gone from 9 to 9.5 here. Cal Quantrill, you know, basically kind of like a 3 or 4 inning pitcher, not a guy that really goes deep into the game. XBIP a little bit better than his ERA, but not really by much. Luis Patino, obviously, he is not going to go. So you're going to see a lot of bullpen action in this game, and that's why the over has been bet from 9 to 9.5.
Yankees and Red Sox do it in Boston tonight. This game about 15 minutes away from the first pitch. Jordan Montgomery against Tanner Houck, and the Yankees at the South Point right now, +133. You can find 140 out there, I think, at one spot in the market. Total of 9.5. Jordan Montgomery, 18 starts, 3-5, but he's got some decent numbers. He's got 9 Ks per 9 innings, 1.20 whip. He started against the Red Sox. If you want a barometer of what Montgomery's probably going to do tonight, he's got 2 starts against the Red Sox. In June, late June at Boston, 6 innings, 8 hits, 2 walks, 3 earned runs. That was a 4-2 loss. Mid-July against Boston in New York, that game, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, a 4-0 loss. So basically you're going to get 6 innings and 3 earned runs from Jordan Montgomery against the Red Sox tonight if he pitches like he did the last 2 times against Boston.
Yeah, and Tanner Houck on the Boston side has only made a couple starts, just gone 9 1/3, but has been relatively solid. 42 ERA, but much better on the XFIP at 287. So perhaps some positive regression. Also, Jordan Montgomery, kind of been what he is this year. 3-5, as you mentioned, in 18 starts. I think he's been kind of consistent. He's certainly been at least a little bit more consistent than like Jameson Taillon has been, who has had some really up and down starts. Domingo Herman, very much the same. Probably the walk's too high for both of those gentlemen. So I didn't really know where to go on the side, and I'm interested to see what the Yankees do at the deadline, if really there's anything that they can do. I know they don't want to sell because that's not going to go well in New York City, but it's probably maybe what they should do. But what I would be looking at for this play, Boston, I think, was a 120 favorite in the overnight. Now I'm seeing as high as like 145, 146, 147. Mm-hmm. So miss the party if you like the Red Sox, but where I'd go here is the under 9.5.
BetMGM's up to -155 on Boston. How about Joey Gallo? You think that'd be a good move for the Yankees? They need a left-handed power bat.
Yeah, because they don't have hardly any in the lineup. That's why I thought in the offseason, I'm like, you know, it'd be a really good fit at Yankee Stadium that makes a lot of sense, Kyle Schwarber. Of course, Kyle Schwarber is now.
I've been saying that for 3 years.
I have too. And look, I wanted him to go there. I thought he was going to have massively stupid numbers on that short right field porch.
Brian Cashman was not that smart.
Brian Cashman doesn't know that Indiana University guys are going to win for you.
Well, he also doesn't know the left-handed power hitters would probably be a good idea to put in that lineup.
Yeah, when you've got a right field porch at about 200 feet.
All right, quickly, last 2 games. The screen's lighting up here on Angels-Twins. And at the South Point right now, Minnesota -128, total of 9.5, shaded under. And it's Andrew Haney for the Angels against Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, and Andrew Haney kind of seeing the money here. And if you look at the peripherals, and that's why I think he's getting it, 5.56 in terms of the ERA, but 3.83 on the XFIP. He's a guy I've tried a couple times this year. I'm like, okay, positive regression is coming, and it never really does. Kenta Maeda, look, since he's went to Minnesota, he's a fly ball pitcher in a fly ball yard. And that's why you're not seeing him, I think, post the numbers, obviously, that he did at Dodger Stadium. So I don't necessarily disagree with this move on the Los Angeles Angels.
Okay, we talked to Ken Korak, the Oakland A's radio broadcaster, during this show, the voice of the A's. And he's going to call the game tonight. A's Mariners in Seattle, Sean Manea against Chris Flexen. And these pitchers matched up on June 2nd. And Manea pitched a complete game. He threw a shutout against the A's. That was a 6-0 win. What do you expect tonight, Wes?
Well, we'll see if Chris can flex it on the Oakland A's tonight. Oakland is getting the money. It was 128 in the overnight. Now $1.40. Flexen, like Ken Korach mentioned, probably the most consistent pitcher for Seattle, who's kind of doing this with smoke and mirrors, but nevertheless, they're 6 games over .500. Lean Oakland, but I'm going to pass. It's already moved about 15 cents.
All right, that's Wes Reynolds. Thanks to Kenny White, Ken Korach, Mike Palm, and Derek Stevens today on My Guys in the Desert. Stay tuned. A lot going on tonight on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.